Holy Spirit is leading this whole thing. So ever since I've been called into ministry, one of the things that really has solidified deep down within me is that I want to build strong families. And in doing so, I formulate the messages I have and things like that around trying to build strong families. But we know, hopefully, that the only way to have a strong family is to put Jesus Christ the center of it.
That's right.
And so in the preaching comes Jesus Christ number one. Everything else comes after that. And as we live our life and we glean from that type of teaching, we understand that all things that we have that pertain to life and all things that we have that pertain to godliness come from the one who gave us salvation, who set us free, and that is the grace of God through Jesus Christ. So, something that I am challenging myself with also is that I'm not wired technically to be that individual that is looking towards things like the rapture or looking towards things like eternal life in heaven. But what I'm trying to say is that's not my main focus. My main focus isn't I'm just going to live right here, right now, because someday I'm going to be in heaven. And I'm trying to focus mainly on how can you be a blessing down here. In transitioning, today I want to talk about the love of Jesus Christ, but I also want to talk about this eternal life that we're going to live in heaven. And hopefully I can put you in a mindset that maybe you have a little better understanding of what our purpose is and what we do and why we do things down here. And so the title of the message today is Footprints in the Sand. And this title came from not the poem, but from an actual experience that Stephanie and I had a few weeks ago in the Bahamas. But I do want to relate the poem to you and read it to you. Now, I'm not quoting an author because there's currently a lawsuit about three different authors to the poem Footprints in the Sand, so we'll just say author unknown at this point in time. Now, my mom raised me in a very good home, but I wasn't raised as a Christian. I was raised on the theory of evolution and all kinds of things like that. But she had one thing in our house, and that was the poem in a picture frame, Footprints in the Sand. And so it's familiar with me even before I was a Christian. And it says, as I read to you, one night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that it happened at very lowest and saddest times of my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I need you the most, you would leave me. And the Lord replied, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints in the sand, it was then that I carried you. And I started to relate this back to my life. And I'm probably not standing up here with the only experience of this. But, I mean, have you ever had the experience where you've thought or said to yourself, how am I going to make it through? How am I going to get through this? I don't see a way, Lord. I don't know how it would be possible for me to get through this, whatever that valley may be. It may be illness, it may be finances, it could be a whole list, a number of things. It could be getting to work on time, who knows, right? But I don't know how I'm going to do it. How am I going to pay my bills? But I've looked back and I went, wow. Every time I've said, how am I going to get through? Somehow I always got through.
Amen.
And that is now where it speaks to me, this poem more than ever before. I realize that in my walk, in my life, I've never been alone. I've always had the Lord by my side. And in those times when I was saying, Lord, how am I getting through this? It was at that time that the Lord picked me up and said, I'll carry you through this. You're not going to stay here. Whoever feels like they've been in the valley and they've just kind of stayed there for an extended period of time. It's like, I know it says I'm going through, but man, I'm stuck. But all of a sudden, you come out on the end, and it may be 3 weeks later, it may be a month later, it may be a year down the road. But the point is to it is you did come through it. I remember riding my motorcycle one day down Merrill Road, heading towards Swan Creek Road. And as I'm going down the road, I'm doing 55, the speed limit, right? Something around there. And there was a vehicle stopped at the stop sign that was going eastbound on Swan Creek. And I got about 75 yards away from the intersection, and the van pulled out in front of me. And I went, oh, Lord, how am I going to get through this? And many of you have heard the story, and I purposely tried to lay the bike down because I thought skidding to the van would be a lot better than running face first into the van. And in the process of doing that, it was an immediate, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And the next thing I knew, as I'm trying to lay this bike down, it felt like the hand of God was keeping me up because all it did is wobble, wobble, wobble. I literally felt the bike just wobble. And the next thing I knew, I'm looking back on the motorcycle and I'm past the van. I don't know how I got through it, but I know that the Lord had my back in that situation. And I can come up with so many other instances of my life, but I want you to focus on your life where you were once saying, Lord, how do I get through this? Because what I want you to do is I want you to fall more deeply in love with Jesus Christ. Because when you fall more deeply in love with Jesus Christ, nothing else matters because He's got it. So we worry about things. The Bible tells us don't worry. We're anxious about things. The Bible tells us don't be anxious. But in the humanity that we have, we find ourselves always juggling those things in our life. But God is continually saying, I won't leave you. I will never forsake you. In other words, I'll never take my eyes off of you. I've got your back and I'm here for you. All you have to do is seek me and know. And in these trialing times, in these troublesome times, know that He hasn't left. He's right there with you. So, back to the initial story of why I came up with the title Footprints in the Sand. So Stephanie and I are on one of the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen a lot of beaches from the Pacific Ocean to where I was raised in California to the Gulf to the Atlantic, all around me. And this was the most beautiful sea that I've ever seen. And it was at Half Moon Cay, and it was just tranquil, turquoise, blue, clear. Absolutely incredible. And we're standing on the edge, and we walked away. It's a two-mile beach, and we walked away from everybody else. And we're standing there, the two of us, just in love and everything. And we're looking out, and we're just marveled over God's creation and how beautiful the water was and how beautiful the island was. It wasn't commercialized and had, you know, it wasn't like Nassau that had all the high-pressure sails. And, I mean, it was an island, and it was just gorgeous. And as we're standing there away from everybody, a guy walks past us. And he's heading the way that we're going to eventually head back to. And as we start walking and holding hands, my beautiful wife, Stephanie, my better half, she's looking at the footprints that the guy was leaving as he walked in the sand. And she goes, wow, look at that. This was her revelation that I stole. And I said, what? And she said, look at how when the water comes in, it washes the footprints away. Who has ever walked a direction that they wish they could just erase those footprints forever? I was somewhere that I shouldn't have been, and I wish I never would have been, and I just want that whole memory, that whole path, that whole direction, I just want it washed away. And Stephanie says, look, as the waves come in and wash the footprints away, it's like the forgiveness of our sin that Jesus Christ has done for us. And I went, wow, absolutely. Once again, one more reason why you just fall more in love with God and what He's done for us. And so it become now this very natural created thing became a very supernatural thing that I use in the arsenal of love in my life as I look and we think about, wow, how the grace of God has removed these transgressions, as though it has never, the sand looked like no one had ever walked there before. I mean, it was brand new. It was a slate washed clean. And I think back, wow, Lord, my footprints that I now leave are completely washed away. Because, God, you're not looking at me. You're looking at the blood covering of Jesus Christ that covers me. Wow, thank you, Jesus, as I fall more in love with my Lord and Savior. And it stirs in me a passion to now have the same grace that God has had for believers to have the same grace to those that I am in contact with. It's one of those things, we all know the reaping and sowing. And many times we're grateful for the grace that God has sown towards us, but yet we don't sow grace towards anybody else. And we look at them and we have a judgmental eye that says, you, horrible individual. Now, mind you, let's cover a little bit of judgment here. Judgment is okay. The Bible says, do not judge lest ye be judged. Right? It says, don't worry about the plank in your eye or the speck in somebody else's eye when you got a plank in your eye. And so I'm talking to the Lord about judging and how to judge right. And this is what the Lord told me. The Lord said, when you judge, if that judgment puts you in a place of hate, then you're judging wrong. And I went, okay, I will hold on to that. Because the thing is God isn't judging us with this hateful heart. He's judging us with a justified, right heart. And he looks at us in a way like no one on earth looks at us. Not even our spouses look at us. Loving spouses look at us the same way that God looks at us. The Bible says, you parents, fathers, being evil, can give good gifts. How much more can your heavenly Father give you? So even in our goodness in human nature is still as filthy rags to God. It is all because of Jesus Christ that we have the walk that we have. Again, falling more in love because things are washed away. Hebrews 10:10 out of the New Life Version reads this way. Our sins are washed away and we are made clean because Christ gave his own body as a gift to God. He did this once and for all time. How he did it for what? Once and for all time. So Paul, the Apostle Paul knew this, guys. The Apostle Paul knew this, and it sparked something in him. After all of the years of him trying to persecute Christians, we're not trying, but persecuting Christians, and being there, and being a part of Christians being martyred and killed because of their belief, Paul had this great experience with Jesus Christ, which I hope all of us can have that experience someday. And it gave him divine knowledge of how good and loving our Father is and what Jesus has done for us. And I find it strange that this New Life Version says, Jesus gave his own body as a gift to God. Not a gift for us, but a gift to God. Which takes me to the place of why did Jesus die? So that God could have a relationship with us. And so that we could have a relationship with him. See, he gave us free will to walk away from him or to walk towards him. And he wants all of his creation to walk towards him. So Paul, knowing all of these things, looked at those and put them into his own life. And I read out of Philippians 3, verses 8 through 14. And this is an amplified version, so it's King James with some extra. And it says, and this is quite a reading that I'm taking place, but this is Paul laying out how he wants to be because of what Jesus has done. And this is 8 through 14. And it says, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, in order that I may gain or win Christ, the Anointed One. And so we come to Him, and He comes to us, and that's the grace of God. And verse 9 says, and that I may actually be found and known as in Him, being created in Christ's image, being created in Christ's likeness, being an example to the world and not just myself, I think is something, it doesn't save us, but it brings forth a new way of life that brings a difference in the world that we should strive to. It says, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my own obedience to law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, and supposed right standing with God, thus acquired. No, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, and Him alone, the truly right standing with God. The true right standing is when you come to Jesus, which comes from God by saving faith. Verse 10, for my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, even to His death in the hope. Paul is laying out, he's saying, what He has done is so amazing. I just want to give everything I have to follow Him. We have to think about that. Everything that you have comes from God. And if you could give everything back, what would it look like? So verse 11 says, that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Now Paul starts to speak the realities of life and what's going on. In verse 12, he says, not that I have now attained this idea. See, he wants to be there, and he's pushing forward, and he wrote it down, this is a good place to be, but now in verse 12 he says, but I haven't attained this. You need to hear this. I haven't attained it yet, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold and make my own that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me and made me His own. And then verse 13, and this is the whole moral to this entire thing. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do is I forget what lies behind, and I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So he goes back and he says, I haven't attained this yet. I am not there. I'm not perfect, but I want to be there. I am not like Jesus, but I want to be like Jesus. And one thing I do is I'm not looking back at the persecution I did on Christians. I'm not looking back on my legalistic ways. I'm not looking back at all the rules that I tried to keep and failed at. I'm pressing forward to the prize that lies before me. I'm looking forward to that glory of God and the resurrection power that lives in me so that I will one day be seated in the heavenly places with my Lord and Savior to an eternal existence, an eternal life. How often do you wake up in the morning? How often do you wake up in the morning and say, wow, today I want to make sure that I plant some seed that's eternal? Most of the time, guys, we wake up, if we're honest with ourselves, and we say, wow, I hope I can make it through the day, or wow, pray for me because I got a big meeting today, or I've got something happening, or you know, I thank God that the church sanctuary flooded today. I do, because I give him all the credit and glory and everything that happens, because that's just stuff. That's just a thing that's nothing to lose sleep over. When I gave my children to the Lord, I started to sleep better because I realized that God loves them more than I do, and I would die for them. But God loves them more. You sleep better when you release and turn things over to the Lord. Amen? Who's ever heard of Francis Chan? Anybody hear Francis Chan? So he did an illustration once. Another revelation I'm stealing. But I'm making it my own. So I got here this beautiful golden rope. Isn't it cool? This rope represents something, though, if I can get it untangled. It represents something. It represents a timeline of our life. See, right now, as a believer, we're anchored to Jesus Christ, right? Let's say the cross represents eternal life. Are you with me? Well, this rope represents a timeline. And this rope, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. This rope is representing eternity, okay? I mean, sometimes it's a little tangled in here, but it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Man, it's just all over the place, right? But this is a pretty long life, isn't it? And then we get down to the end. The very end of this rope, right here. Your beginning of life in the womb. This is every one of us began right there. Are you with me? Now I want you to look at this black spot on this rope. Everybody see that? This black spot on this rope represents our life on earth. This is our timeline here. Are you with me? And I would have you know that in this timeline, as a believer, some point in here, hopefully, you get saved. And whether you're saved back here, growing up in the church, or whether you're saved right here at the last second in the end of your life, our promise is eternal life in heaven. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, what you do during this timeline of our life on earth has a direct impact on your future life of eternity. Okay, so we don't really understand eternity. I need you to follow me here. It's not 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 100 years, 1,000,000 years. Eternity goes on and 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 on. Are you with me? What I want to talk to you about is that there is a difference, and Paul knows this, and he made it very clear in 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. There is a difference between salvation and rewards. Can you hear me?
Yep.
So in here, salvation is a free gift. Salvation, we receive something that we do not deserve. It is a gift from God. Through our faith, by grace, we are saved. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. This cannot be taken from us. But the rewards we're building on. And so some people may be saved, but may have a really tiny mansion in heaven. First Corinthians 3, 11 through 15 lays it out, and I'm just paraphrasing this. It says, Jesus Christ is the foundation, and we all as believers will build on that foundation. But what we use to build on the foundation will have some degree of reward or consequences. So some will build using gold and silver and jewels, and others will build on the foundation using wood and straw and hay. Yep. And it says, fire will come, and it'll burn that up. That's the judgment seat that we sit before Christ. will burn it up, and what is left will be what is left, either bigger reward or less of a reward for your entire existence in eternity. It says you will make it into heaven. The word says it. You will make it into heaven. But if you've built your foundation of being saved on weak straw, weak rubble, then your reward in heaven will be less. You'll still be in heaven, but your reward will be less. And so we're looking at things. The Bible says that you're saved by grace through faith, not by works. That's clear, right? But then it says you're created for good works, though. And then in James it says, faith without works is dead. And we were like, what is all this works thing? Here's the answer to it, guys. The works is how we attain the greater rewards in heaven. It's not our salvation. That's grace. We will make it to heaven. But how you live the rest of your eternal life in heaven will determine on what you're doing down here. Is your life a bunch of junk and trash and misery and mistake after another, after another, after another, after another, after another? All of us. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that all of us will stand before the Lord and give an account, whether good or evil. All of us will stand. I heard it this way, and I simply close with this statement. As we stand before Jesus Christ, trying to see what our rewards are going to be, He is not looking at our sin. That was dealt with through grace. He is looking at our service. So as a believer, so that we are clear in understanding, it is great to get to heaven, and it is great to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. That's a gift and a reward within itself. But there is an eternity that we haven't even looked at, that we can't even fathom with our finite mind. This little tiny mind can't even get a glimpse of what it's going to be like. The greatest best of the best that you know here on earth has no comparison to what the worst of the worst in heaven would be. I mean, it's going to be absolutely amazing. But it can be even better. Amen. And so as a believer, why are we supposed to be the light? Because we're supposed to show the world what it is to be good. See, this is why God is saying, listen, I want to have a relationship with you. It's not by your works or the good, but you are created for good works. And there's always a question, why? Because He wants you. Remember, He's the good Father, the evil Father that gives good gifts, but how much more will the Heavenly Father give us? And so as you wake up every day and you start out on that path, don't be in fear and don't be in bondage of, am I gaining a good reward? But be led by the Holy Ghost. And if you live your life led by the Holy Ghost, you will walk in greater rewards in heaven. Amen? Let's close with prayer. Father, I just thank You right now, Lord. I thank You for Your life-giving word. God, You love us so much that we don't even have to try to do these good works on our own. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given a godly spirit to us to be able to work out life. But Father, I thank You for the Holy Ghost that lives and dwells within us. I thank You for the conviction of the Spirit that shows us the right path to take. I thank You, God, that You've erased our past every step of the way. Father, I thank You that as we stand before You, You're not looking at the rights and the wrongs. You're looking at the service we've done to others. So, Father, I just give You praise and glory for the mighty blessings that You will pour out upon the body of Christ here. Father, I pray that each day this week, Father, we can come to know You more and more. And, Father, those that may be listening, those that are here, if any of them do not know You as Lord and Savior, I wish to grow closer to You. I pray, Father, that they would just surrender all that they have in this world. And they would just say, Lord, come and live in my life. Forgive me of my sins, and I thank you, God, for loving me. Fill me with the power and presence of your Holy Ghost, and live in my life forevermore. In Jesus' glorious name. But God bless the body of Christ as you go throughout the week. And we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.